All right, thank you, Balls Davis. There he goes. Balls Davis, weekday mornings. It's the Balls Davis Show.
I'm kind of getting used to this crosstalk at the start
you
of the
like
show.
You like that, don't
I mean,
you?
Usually we're trying to, like...
It's a new thing we've come across on 1010XL.
Yeah, it's like, usually we have to, like, do it at the end with the hacker. And
I'll peel back the curtain for you, Ryan. There may have been a mandate laid down by certain upper management persons that the morning show needs to stop being so lazy and hang around for an extra 3 minutes. That's what it boils down to. We're here either way, okay? We're ready to talk to them or not talk to them, no matter what the situation is. All right, with that, Mike Dempsey, Ron O'Halloran, and Fat Tony here with you, live at EverBank. Let's kick it off. Jaguars Today starts right now.
And now Richardson goes in motion to the right side. Back to throw. Green under a bit of heat. Turns your brain. Lost the ball. It's on the ground, and he covers it up back at the 24-yard line. Marcus Stroud got his second sack of the game, forcing the fumble. There's the Jacksonville 36-yard line. Hutchinson, head bobbing and weaving as he calls out the signals. Drops to throw, trying to set up the screen. It's going to be pressured. Hit. Sacked. All the way back to the 44. Guess who? Big John Henderson.
Now live from EverBank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and Ryan O'Halloran.
That guy forgot you too, Tony. What the heck?
I don't know.
What's going on? Fat Tony's back. How you feeling?
You're away for a day.
You good?
I'm good, man.
All right.
I'm fine.
Good to see you back. What's going on? What are you looking at? Something's playing? Is that this?
There you
go. I just muted it. How about that?
All right.
It's my new Microsoft Surface tablet, Ryan. If you'd like to take a look at it, you may come peer over my shoulder. That's as close as you're allowed to get.
Well, you know, it's good that the resources are being
upgraded.
Upgraded.
Yeah. You know, the volume works on this one, which is nice.
Hey, so that's good. But refresh my memory on that highlight clip. Is that Chad Hutchinson?
That was Chad. Yeah.
Dallas Cowboys?
Yes, Dallas Cowboy.
Okay.
Chicago Bear.
Chicago Bear, New York Yankee, right? Wasn't he in the Yankee system for a while?
He was like before Drew Henson was.
Correct. Before right. They had Elway. They are partial to quarterbacks, I suppose, in the system as far as that goes. We're on the eve now. Training camp kicking off tomorrow. It's for real. Is anyone more excited today than Tad Dickman? Wow.
Bounding through the halls.
Coming down the hallway. What do you think, guys? What do you think? What do you think? The players are back. Now, it wasn't quite that bad, but it was bordering.
It's good. We can embellish that.
Yeah, a little bit. A little embellishing with that. Hey, we're going to talk plenty of Jaguar stuff today. I spent the majority of my free time yesterday talking about the Tom Brady situation with the National Football League. But since you guys haven't had a chance to weigh in on this program at least, we'll start with you, Ryan. Where things stand right now, just what is your take over the fallout over the last couple of days?
Well, it's again with the NFL is the cover-up's worse than the crime. It's an old cliche, but it applies here. I don't know for the life of me what he was thinking, if true, thinking that if he did something with the phone, it would disappear. He should have just come clean and say, I said I wanted a little bit lower than normal. They probably would have fined him. They probably wouldn't have suspended him for a game. But the fact that he didn't cooperate, he got bad advice. People didn't look at what happened to Adrian Peterson. He showed no remorse last year. Roger Goodell said, you're gone. So
that's a big deal with Goodell, right?
And you should, by now, the precedent has been set that it is true.
Even if you don't feel it, you got to pretend.
Put your tail between your legs, figuratively. But as far as the suing the league, I don't think it's going to be overturned. I think he's going to serve a 4-game suspension.
You do. So you don't think that's what my next question was. What does your gut tell you about his availability week 3?
I think he won't be available because I think you're going to get close enough to the season where his camp is going to decide, okay, A, we have no shot at winning this, which I think is what they're going to say, or we may win this, but do we want to sit out
Sitting out games right in December or what have you.
Yeah, I think that's where they have to have a hard discussion is, okay, your legacy is tarnished. I don't care what happens from now on. Now it's about getting that fifth Super Bowl title. You fight it until you get to that first week and you just sit it out.
But, Tony, isn't there part of Tom Brady that in giving up the fight is an admission of defeat. Whether or not it's an admission of guilt, people sure. will see it as an admission
no,
of guilt.
And
right?
I think people already see kind of the phone deal as that kind of issue with Tom Brady already. Like, I already think that there are a lot of people that are on board with that line of thinking. And it's being clear about what a court case means for Tom Brady from this point. It's no longer about his guilt or innocence. Right, and whatever happened with the Flakegate, it's about the process that the league went through according to the CBA to
did
give him
Cadell
a four,
overstep his
right,
bounds.
To give him a 4-game suspension. Did he go too far in the 4-game suspension? And I think when you step back and look at it, Goodell has been hard on everybody when they try to cover something up, right? Like, did he come down too hard on the Saints? In the end, yeah. And it got pulled back a little bit with what he did to them. But the Falcons earlier this offseason, Cleveland earlier this offseason, those guys admitted up front. They got accused of something, and both those teams said, yeah, we did that. They got what they got. This is not about whether the balls were deflated or not. This is about if the league thought the balls were deflated, and then Tom Brady doesn't cooperate with the NFL saying, look, we may have been willing to do this or that, but you destroy your phone, you don't cooperate with what we need you to cooperate with, it's 4 games. And I think from a legal standpoint, it's very likely that it will stand up. Within the CBA, I think that Roger Goodell has done what he's allowed to do.
And, you know, my thoughts on the NFLPA and its executive director have been well known here. He's a joke. So they think, you know, they're getting on their high horse. They want to make it, you know, look, hey, players, we're fighting for you. They're not going to win. I think Roger Goodell got it right on Bounty Gate, and I thought the players should have supported that ruling because they're talking about welfare of the players.
Right.
The fact that the PA bitched about Bounty Gate to me showed how clueless they are. I think Brady, from his standpoint, I think he's got to spin it around here if it gets to like September 1st and there's still no closure. Hey, I'm going to accept the suspension for the good of my team. I mean, the New England fans are going to love him regardless, but I think at some point you have to look at what's the best decision for me right now to help get me a fifth trophy. I think would be not risking sitting out games in December.
Ah, boy, I think my personal opinion is I don't think Brady gives up the fight, and
I don't either.
I think he goes toe to toe. I don't think at any point he just gives up the court fight and says, "Forget it, I'm going to accept this," because I don't think he ever wants to go on record. If he fights it to the end, even if it doesn't go his way, he can claim, I got railroaded, I fought the good fight, I screamed from the mountaintop about my innocence, which he did much more persuasively more pointedly in the Facebook posting than he did when he was asked about it prior to the Super Bowl, when he said, I don't believe I cheated. You know, he was kind of
right.
equivocating on that a little bit.
Well, and also, I thought once again, Bob Kraft off the top rope yesterday was incredible. Incredibly entertaining.
He really did put on a mask and tagged in and came over the turnbuckle.
He was incredible. Honestly, he was incredible. And for that entire Patriots organization, I mean, look, from Brady on down, from Brady and Belichick on down, for the owner to step up in front of the microphones and say, I'm going to talk about this. I feel like I got betrayed by the league. I shouldn't have trusted these people. I don't want anybody else talking about this. This is me now.
Let's take a quick time out. We'll finish up on some final thoughts on that. We want to get to your training camp primer today that you had in the Times Union, Ryan. And also we'll talk with Paul Kaharsky covering the Tennessee Titans, opponent number 10 for your Jacksonville Jaguars this year. So that's coming up on the program today as well. If you'd like to get in, 641-1010 is the phone number. Question today by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, a simple one. How many Jaguar training camp practices are you planning on attending? You can tell us which ones as well if you'd like. If you're a season ticket holder, you're eligible to attend tomorrow's practice. Remember to go to Jaguars.com and register ahead of time so you don't have any issues at the gate. They'd like you to register. It doesn't cost anything to attend these open to the public practices. So whether it's tomorrow, this weekend, Monday night at Mandarin, anytime over the next couple of weeks, let us know how many you plan on being out there for. And you can tweet us throughout the show at MD_1010XL. At Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL, Fat Tony, Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony here with you live at Everbank on Jaguars Today, 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
If you really look at what happened, none of it was frankly surprising. You know, the commissioner decided to hear the appeal of discipline handed down by his right-hand guy, Troy Vincent. So everything was an in-house operation.
It was a done deal, says Don Yee. Tom Brady's agent. advisor.
Tom Brady agreed to the CBA too, buddy.
Henchman.
Yes, he did. Henchman.
Muscle.
These two lines from the other day.
Enforcer.
Keep going. Whatever. What else you got? Strong arm guy.
Chauffeur.
Chauffeur.
Caddy.
Don Yee the other day in response to the initial decision given out by the National Football League said his decision alters the competitive balance of the upcoming season. The decision is wrong and has no basis, and it diminishes the integrity of the game. Was he speaking about Brady, or was he speaking about
the decision of the Patriots to carry out this entire farce?
As you said, Tony, on the press, I asked you guys, do you have much? Do you want to add anything else? Pretty much, we're ready to close the book and move on that. And your response was something along the lines of, just when you think they're done cheating.
seriously, it's Belichick and Brady, maybe the two guys that you could argue as the greatest of all time at both those spots, right? Certainly probably the greatest head coach in this generation of coaches has been Bill Belichick. Tom Brady, the argument's there for him to be the greatest of all time at the quarterback position. It's hard for me to say that. After all that organization has done, it's hard for me to call either one of those guys that anymore. Cheaters. That's what they are.
Yes.
They cheated.
They did.
Over and over.
Yes, multiple times. And in addition to the stuff they've been busted for anecdotally, we've heard for years about the messing with the electronic communications of the visiting teams. When you go to New England is a particular issue.
Sure. I had some Steelers fans say that he hopes that Brady was playing week one so they could go beat Brady instead of Garoppolo. I was like, really? Stop it.
I knew I was going to win, I'd rather have Brady in there too.
Sure, but
I want the best chance.
How about
to win.
This? I want whatever the best chance is that I don't have to go to their cheating ass building when we get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Whatever the best chance is that I don't have to deal with that corrupt organization when we get the playoff time in their building, that's what I want.
You know why Tony had the day off yesterday, Ryan? Get his new supply of meme pills, man. He's going at him today. All right, let's get to the phones. This one, hey, thank you very much. 641-1010 is the number. It's a tradition unlike any other. The first day of Jaguar training camp. I know my belly's going to be full of that chili cooked up by none other than Mr. Fancam, who joins us right now. Fancam, how are you, sir?
Hey, MD. How you doing, my friend?
We are great, man. What's going on?
You guys are sounding good. I just wanted to make sure you had a personal invite down. Enough of these the ridiculous storylines, nonsensical stuff about the buffoons on the field. Let's talk reality, and that's what's going on in the trenches. And that starts tomorrow morning with our tailgate crew showing up with fruit chili for everybody. And let's start this year off right. I think it's going to be a good year. I agree with what you guys were saying earlier about the potential of the team, but I think you can't overstate how important it was that these guys literally cleansed from the bottom. I mean, they threw out everything, including the baby and the bathwater, and started from scratch. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Conn and Bradley, as well as Caldwell, had a 4-year package in place from day one.
Are you okay with that? You're one of the most passionate fans of this team that I know. Are you okay with that?
I have no problem with that at all. In fact, I think that's the only real way to do it. We went through 7-8 years of Del Rio's, you know, rebuilding to get to an 8-8, 9-7 wild card hope. And that's not the way to do it. If you want to do it, you need to start from scratch. You need to throw the mud at the wall the first couple years on youngsters, hope a half dozen of them stick, which they did. Upgrade your team speed annually, significantly, which they did. And I think the defense on the field this year is going to be more impressive than a lot of people realize. Whether Bortles and the young offense can come along even with a better line. I think the best young tight end in football in place. I think a couple running backs that are going to hit the holes hard and with passion. I think this is going to be a different team all across the board. But I do like the way they did it, and I'm willing to spend a couple years. You know, like I said, we're having a ball smoking ribs and pounding chili and craft beers and everything else. I can go through a couple years of that in the expectation that the guys are doing it right. The important thing is the decision made. They've done the strategy was correct, is to start from scratch and go for young speed. Now, whether they made the right decisions on all these players or not remains to be seen. But the strategy and the tactics they've used thus far, I think, are the best way to go.
All right. Thank you, Fancam. We'll see you out there for chili for breakfast tomorrow. Look forward to it.
We're about 9 to 12. Usually serve about 120 to 150 bowls of free chili, and I hope to see MD and your whole crew out there. You guys have a great day.
I'll be there, Ryan. You better
Me too,
you better bring your chili appetite tomorrow, Ryan. Sure. What? Yes, you will.
Well, in 90-degree weather.
Little rice, little chill. You got to eat, man, and it's so it's hot.
Fluids.
You know? All right, you can drink plenty of fluids
they
with
give
that.
You water.
He mentioned craft beer.
And yeah.
That, Ryan, do you think that that attitude expressed in that phone call is representative of a large portion of the fan base? The idea if they're going to go win 5 or 6 games and the payoff is going to come next year, which you won't know if it's going to come next year, do you think how what percentage of the fan base do you think would be on board with that way of thinking?
I think the fan base is on board with most of what he said, but I think the fan base also wants at least give 6 or 7 wins.
Right.
For year three. Show some signs of progress, not just, well, you hear guys are getting better.
We're more competitive.
Yeah, I mean, because let's say hypothetically you go, let's say it is a 4-year thing. This year you go 5-11. Hell of a big leap next year.
You better be making the playoffs in year 4.
So
right?
If you go 6-10, if you eke out a 7-9, then that's legitimate momentum going into 2016.
641-1010, the phone number. Let's go back to the lines and welcome Kevin to Jaguars Today. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. I guess one of the things I look forward to about the start of training camp, the start of the regular season, is to listen once again to you guys. Mike, you've done a terrific job here in the last few months, so thank you. I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to getting
What about Tony? But what about Tony, Kevin?
Tony's done a great job, too. But, you know, the fact that you guys kept our interest during the whole summer, it's been terrific.
Well, thank you, Kevin. We appreciate
you're
it.
You're welcome. We think it's good. Look, my concern, I was thinking about this over crosstalk. You know, the past 2 years under Bradley, we've had very slow starts out of the gate, 1-10, 1-9. I'm starting to look at some of our early schedule, and I got to tell you, you know, I don't know what happens. I mean, I'm one of those guys who hopes for 6 wins this year, but I'll tell you, if they come back from London, you know, 0-7, 1-6, you got a 2-week window, and I think we have a guy waiting in the wings, a former head coach in Buffalo. If we're 1-6, 0-7, as much as I love Gus, it's time to pull the trigger in that case. I mean, that would just be a disaster for this fan base, for this franchise.
It would be a disaster.
Kevin, thank you.
You know, 0-8, you know, to take it one step further, 0-8 2 years ago, 0-6 last year. We pointed to it before. I got to get that opener. And if you get one of those 2 home games, good. If you get 2 of them, great.
I have to split those
yes.
2 games.
Because that avoids, that means you're getting away from the Ofer talk. That means you're getting away. That means you're looking at, okay, can you beat Tampa Bay? That means you're 2-3 minimum, 3-3, 3-2, something like that after the first month and a half. So what we don't know is how well Gus coaches a team that has, like, some momentum. I mean, 2 years ago, it was December. They're just playing. They're playing hard. But if this team with a lot of young guys wins a game early, will that lead into more wins?
Right. I would think that being as young as they are, they're going to be prone to be more emotional. You know, I know they always talk about wanting to be on an even keel week in, week out. Ryan, Tony and I talked about this. I think it was with John Osier earlier this week. We said, if the record ends up the same, whatever that is, if you can go 6-10 in a variety of ways. Is this team?
And that's the thing. You don't want to start, like, you know, if you're 0-7 coming back from London, you finish 6-10. So what?
Right. Well, that was my question. Is it better? Is it more important to them to win these games early than to win them late? Because when you win them late, you get to the end of the season and fans feel like, whether it's realistic or not, there's some momentum, some sense that we finally are getting it. We're turning the corner. But if you win them early, you take a lot of that pressure off. Because I agree with Kevin. Could you imagine what it's going to be like if they're 1-6? I don't want to think that way, but I will say this. I think they're, unless they're 0-7 and it looks like they're giving up in the third quarter of every game, I don't think Gus Bradley's in danger in the middle of this season.
Well, I don't think shot. I mean, everybody says, well, he did it in soccer. Totally different sport.
He's done it several times in soccer,
yeah,
right?
Totally different stuff on the line in terms of relegation. You're trying to find a spark. Football, a little different. But if... You know, it's you come back from London, you know, and then you play some meaningful games in November. You're competitive in December. I mean, at least create some fan interest, score some points. But I look at those first 5 games, and you know, don't go an Ofer.
Look, I look at the first 5 games as a lot of gettable games. Honestly,
yeah.
I do think those first 2 are winnable. I don't expect a sweep. But I expect, and I think the Jaguar fans deserve a split. You know what I mean? I mean they can't get off to that kind of start again, because all of a sudden you're 0-2, and if Jimmy Garoppolo is playing, you go from kind of going in there thinking, you know, let's say you're 2-0 or 1-1, even if you, especially if you're playing Brady, you're like, nobody's going to expect us to win. We could play free and loose. Well, let's say the Patriots are, you know, on the other foot, they have the Jags coming in. They've got Garoppolo, and the Jags are 0-2, and the pressure to win that game is going to be immense.
You know, it could feel a lot like, and it depends on what happens with the Jags in those first 2 weeks, but that Patriots team, if Tom Brady's not going to play, it could feel a lot like week three last year when Indianapolis came here. Right? That was an 0-2 Indianapolis team. They hadn't found their footing yet in the season. It's because how tough their schedule was to start the season as opposed to their starting quarterback being suspended. But that could be an 0-2 Patriots team. Do you expect Jimmy Garoppolo to just go out and win football games in his second year? I get it. It's the Patriots, so we all have this inflated expectation for what they're going to be able to do.
They're Super Bowl champs. They have a good roster, but,
right.
they did lose Revis. They've lost Browner. They've lost a lot.
They're not going to have Blunt week one,
right,
going up against a really good Steelers team.
Right. Of course, they won't have Le'Veon Bell.
Sure.
That's a fair trade for New England.
But I'll take Roethlisberger with Antonio
no
Brown
doubt.
And all that.
Colts found their footing that day.
They did.
It was on the Jaguars' necks.
I thought you were going to go for backs, but
yeah, that first 30 minutes was
I want to go more violent.
Understood. Hey, let's take a look. We'll do more of this later. We've got Paul Kaharsky coming up from ESPN talking Titans with us in a couple of minutes. In your training camp primer, you talked about the guy you think has the most to gain being Marquise Lee on this football team. Marquise Lee is almost, as crazy as it sounds, just 1 year into the process, an almost completely overlooked commodity that they have. Here's a guy who's a high second-round pick, Biletnikoff Award winner as a sophomore in college, very accomplished college guy. Not every receiver has an Odell Beckham-type rookie year, right? I mean, has the pendulum almost swung so far that nobody's expecting much from Marquise Lee, in your opinion?
I think the expectations in the building are still high, but also it comes with a giant asterisk is they got to see him out there.
Got to play, yeah.
Got to be available, got to practice, because Marquise said last year the key for him is practicing in terms of routes, game plan, et cetera. Each player gets ready differently. His way to get ready and perform well is by practicing. He hasn't been able to do that this offseason. So I think what he has to gain is – you sort of have him penciled in for role A. Can he stay healthy the whole camp, flash a little bit where they say, okay, we have to get him on the field a little bit more and throw it to him a little bit more? And I could have put Marquise in the most to lose category as well.
You certainly could. With Allen Hurns impressing as a rookie and, you know, his status on a team that figures to play a lot of two tight end sets this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that means there's a lot of two wide receiver sets out on the football field. You did go, though, with the guy with the most to lose, with Andre Branch. Even though you said with a good training camp, you think he has a good chance, or do you expect him potentially to open up the season as a starting Leo?
I expect him to be the starting Leo. You know, Clemens is still going to play a lot, but their plan, I think, is they want to decrease Clem's playing time, which would equal, they hope, increased production, which makes sense for a guy who's going to be 34.
More of a designated pass rusher.
And really, at this stage of his career, that's probably where he's best suited. I look at Branch from the standpoint of, this is your last best shot. You have a ton to lose by getting hurt again or not being productive. You have a chance here to start, be a regular down guy, get double-digit sacks, and also go into free agency with a little bit of momentum.
It's a great opportunity.
Because you look at free agency in the last 3-4 years, all you need is one good year to get a deal.
One good year, and if you're a pass rusher, yeah, there usually aren't many guys out there on the market. So I agree with you. He'll still be a young player by NFL standards. Mm-hmm. If he can put up a 10-sack season, I think if he stays healthy, I think he's capable of that based on what I saw from him last year. So I think a big key for him will be staying healthy this year, and that'll be an interesting training camp battle to watch as well. Can he wrest the starting Leo spot away from Chris Clemens? We'll be out there tomorrow. Hope you all stop by. We'll have a revolving door of guests popping in from the local media and Jaguar coverage wall to wall, and look forward to seeing you guys out there tomorrow. Right now, we've got Paul Kaharsky coming up in just minutes from ESPN. We'll take a look at the Jags division rival, the Tennessee Titans, and what they have in store for 2015. We'll do that next, live from Everbank. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Jaguars have four defensive backs standing on the goal line in a three-man rush and four linebackers up in front. Straight drop. Chris Clemens is going to get there, and he's going to finish him off. They are going to finish him off. Sendiri Marks gets the half sack he needed. What a way to end the ball game. Jacksonville wins it 21-13.
I give credit to the whole team. I mean, they kept their poise in the locker room at halftime. Said, all right, let's regroup. We'll build off some of those runs that we had, some plays that Blake made. It carried over in the second half, but the defense, special teams, really solid throughout.
Ah, thank goodness for the Tennessee Titans. That's what Jag fans were saying last year. Right?
The money dance.
Money dance. He looked up. Give me my bonus, baby. Week 16 last year, Jags 21-13 over the Titans. They split with them. The Titans with a 16-14 win in week 6 of 2014. Of course, they'll play them twice this year. And here to chronicle the hated Tennessee Titans, Mr. Paul Kaharsky, ESPN's NFL Nation coverage. Does an outstanding job and has for years covering Tennessee and the NFL at large. What's up, Paul? How are you this morning?
I'm great, guys. How you doing?
Good, Paul.
We're doing well, man. Good to have you on. I guess the biggest story in Tennessee, anytime you get a new potential franchise quarterback in the door, that is going to be the compelling storyline. Tell us what you've seen from Mariota this summer and what you expect out of him in his rookie year.
Well, I'm admittedly a little bit skeptical about his ability to translate his game into NFL and it's particularly into kind of a pro style deal that Ken Wisenhunt prefers. But I was really, I don't think overwhelmed is too strong a word. It's probably too strong a word because of the context, right, Ryan? You can't put too much into OTA, and minicamp stuff, but it's all we have to go on. And the eight practices I saw out of him, I was very impressed. Better accuracy, better anticipation, NFL quarterback kind of moxie, huge respect from his teammates and his coaches. And, you know, there's not one time that I watched he and Mettenberger work and thought that they were close or that there should be a competition. The Titans declared that Mariota would be the starter even before they drafted him. You know, said if you draft somebody at number two that's a quarterback, you expect him to be your starter right out of the gate. And, you know, nothing that's happened so far suggests he shouldn't be. You know, a lot of stuff to come, you know, in terms of how he deals with the pass rush and getting hit and an offensive line that might let people get to him too much and receivers who are unproven and all that. But the early indications all good.
Follow up on Mariota, Paul. How much do you think, I mean, you were just speculating here probably a little bit, but how much do you think Wiz is going to maybe throw out the playbook and do a lot of things to tailor to Marcus early on while he's simultaneously learning a pro-style offense?
Yeah, well, that's the plan, and they really did rewrite the playbook. So the word that Wisenhunt has used is blend. They intend to blend things that Marcus did well at Oregon and does well that don't really align with the Titans playbook from last year and incorporate some of those things. But I think certainly, as you kind of suggested there, the ultimate goal is, you know, to get him comfortable in the pocket. And I think we all know that ultimately, no matter how good you are running around or improvising, or doing things that are on the move or outside of the pocket, at crunch time in games, you're going to have to make plays from the pocket. I think he's better at that than a lot of people thought. I think he did it more at Oregon than maybe we thought if we didn't watch Oregon on a regular basis. But also, just because it's not what they featured at Oregon doesn't mean he can't do it. And so we'll just see the pace and the process. Those are the big questions.
A lot of intrigue at the wide receiver position for the Titans this year. Not only Justin Hunter dealing with what he's having to deal with away from the field, but apparently still being around the team. What kind of discussions are they having about Justin Hunter within that building? And they draft Oriole Green-Beckham in the second round. How has he looked throughout the offseason? Does he look like he is a guy that could be ready early on in his career to step in and play a big role for that Titans offense?
I think they're disappointed that something went down with Hunter, but I think they also think that, as teams often do, that fully accurate version of the events maybe isn't what we've all heard. The league reportedly is looking into it, but they report today, they got conditioning tests, in an hour or two here, and he's expected to be with them. So, it does not appear he's getting put on the exempt list or anything like that. The guy, was fantastic last year in the off season and the preseason. And he was really good in the off season again this year, but I'm not going to believe in him until I see him do it when it counts. He turns timid, and it's just, it's incredibly frustrating because he's very physically gifted and should be, a vertical threat who could go up and get it. Maybe Mariota will help bring it out of him. Sean Jefferson, the receivers coach, told me, it's clicked mentally for Hunter. So now we'll see the physical stuff. DGB, missed a lot of time with a hamstring during the offseason. The freak of nature, obviously, incredible size. You would think he'd be a big-time red zone target, at least at the beginning. But there's a lot of sorting out to do there. Kendall Wright's their best receiver. Harry Douglas, a proven guy, has joined them, but they're both at their best in the slot. A lot to sort out outside with Hunter, with DGB, maybe with Hakeem Nicks, who didn't do much. And maybe he's done. Or maybe, he realized after a bad year in Indianapolis that he's got to do a lot to get on track. I know he's had individual workouts with Mariota during this downtime.
All right, Paul, stick with the offense for one more. Running back spot, drafted Sankey second round last year. His playing time went down in December. Drafted David Cobb from Minnesota. How do you think that shakes out? Who's their guy first down on week one?
Yeah, Sankey was a huge disappointment last year, but he's a really bright kid, a hard worker. That they spelled out for him what their disappointment was as the season wrapped up, and he was in there right away at working. Mettenberger and Taylor Lewan were rehabbing injuries, so they were in there right away. After the season was over, and they said Sankey was there all the time. So he's giving himself every chance to make the improvements, but he didn't look like, how you look at a running back and you can say that guy's got it or that guy doesn't in terms of being able to find yards, break a tackle and stuff like that. And he didn't show much of that. Mm-hmm. I think Cobb would probably end up with more carries in the long run, but that is somewhat dependent on them getting into third and short and using the power back as opposed to the Sankey, who maybe is more of an outside, it's definitely more of an outside runner. I think the Titans are, running back by committee team now, and how the committee hashes out remains to be seen. I would expect Sankey is the starter on day one in Tampa, but I want to emphasize to everybody that's monitoring them for fantasy, the days of Eddie George or Chris Johnson getting all the carries for the Titans are over. This is a running back by committee team now. If you're looking for a solid running back one who's going to get the bulk of the carries, you got to look elsewhere, and you got to acknowledge that there are fewer and fewer of them.
Yeah, we know you just came off doing a hit on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, by the way. So I appreciate you being in that mode, Paul. ESPN's Paul Kaharsky here with us. I look at this team, and from my eyes, the strength of the team is the linebacking core. When you add Brian Arakpo to Derek Morgan, Wesley Woodyard, Avery Williamson, who I thought played very well last year, you tell me from your vantage point, is that as good a unit as they have on that football team?
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, if Arakpo can stay healthy, that's a huge upgrade. You need him to be your number one pass rushing guy. And if Morgan is the second guy, that should be better. Morgan's a guy that gets close a lot and doesn't finish. And I mean, there's certainly, you can impact games that way and force throws and stuff, but it's not the same as a sack, which we know, is generally a drive killer. Woodyard's actually out of the starting lineup. Zach Brown is back, and that's a good addition for them. A guy who could certainly run with a lot of the quality tight ends. Seems to have really bought into this system, and they're high on him. So it'll be Brown and Williamson inside. But of course, one of them comes off as soon as they go to nickel, and they're going to play a ton of nickel. So, and the depth behind the outside guys. I mean, the number three outside linebacker right now is Jonathan Massaquoi, who, I think is promising, but he was cut by Atlanta, and Atlanta's a team in search of pass-rushing outside linebackers. So, Deontrez Mount didn't even start for a lot of his career at Louisville. He's a fifth or sixth round draft pick. He would be fourth. Arakpo or Morgan go down, and they're in big trouble depth-wise. I think the defensive line maybe is the strongest on the team. If Daquan Jones now starting is as advertised when they drafted him last year out of Penn State, Jarrell Casey, their best player on defense on the other end, and Sammy Hill, who played pretty well as a nose tackle last year, despite all the stuff not going on around him. And they have some interesting depth pieces there, and a guy like Carl Klug, a guy like Mike Martin, a guy like Al Woods, and a draft pick like Angelo Blackson, who should maybe help against the run.
Paul, hopefully we get to catch up with you one more time before we get into the regular season, because I got a lot more I'd like to talk to you about.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history is brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. So let's get right to it on this date in football history. That'd be July 30th, 1960, the first AFL preseason game between the Boston Patriots defeating the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo 28-7. Afterwards, Bills players could be heard complaining that their Dixie Cup and string communication systems on the sideline failed them at inopportune moments. Don't know what to make of that.
The Patriots had guys on the opposing sideline screaming every time the coaches tried to communicate anything on the field.
1971, Tony, the 38th NFL Chicago All-Star Game featured the Baltimore Colts defeating a ragtag team of college All-Stars.
That
24-17.
Is so weird that happened.
And for all those years, right, it went on and on and on. Famous birthdays for this date. Happy 128th to Timothy Mara, one of the founding owners of the New York Giants. I do believe he has shuffled off this mortal coil. Reggie Roby, a boomer of a punter, used to wear a watch. Remember that? Used to punt. You remember that O'Hara used to punt with a wristwatch on in NFL games? Reggie Roby, yes. Terry Crews, born in this date in 1968. Happy 47th to Terry Crews, better known for his post-playing career acting, which included a role as Latrell Spencer in White Chicks, which will absolutely break Twitter every time it shows up on your television box. And, oh, don't bury the lead here, Dempsey. Happy 45th birthday to Double Nichols, Meathead, Tommy Mac, sometimes guest host, let's put him
happy
in the
birthday
category.
Tommy.
Happy birthday, T-Mac, 45 years young today, at Meathead55 on Twitter. Get out there and wish him a happy birthday. How about that? Do that. And that is this date in football history. It is brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Roofing for your home, roofing for your business, repairs, re-roofs, you name it. If you need your roof fixed, Bob Roberts, the place to go. License number CCC056797 for First Coast Roofing. That is this date in football history.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
$500. That's what the Mara family paid to get the New York Giants. $500.
They bought the team for $500?
$500.
That was their entry fee into the league?
No, they bought it from somebody else that had it for $500. I think they've made that money back.
That's pretty good.
As the Mara family. Kansas City Chiefs safety Eric Berry back on the practice field for the team in training camp. Why is that a big deal? Because Berry was diagnosed with Hodgkin lymphoma just 8 months ago. Berry felt something uncomfortable in his chest after a game last November, and from there was quickly diagnosed. He finished chemotherapy in May. The team says that they will bring him along slowly, but Andy Reid did indicate that they will give him as much as he can handle. Thus far, he's being held out of 11-on-11s, but that could change soon. The Chiefs, like most teams, aren't in pads yet. This is certainly a story to keep an eye on in NFL training camps going forward. Just because training camp is here doesn't mean that Jason Pierre-Paul is going to change his post-fireworks maiming plan. JPP rehabbing in South Florida, clearly away from the team, and still hasn't been in contact with the New York Giants. Reports indicate that he is working to get well enough to pass a physical before he makes any contact with the team so that he'll be able to sign that franchise tender. Of course, the Giants, who knows how they're going to handle the entire situation, have had no contact with Jason Pierre-Paul to this point. You can understand to some degree what JPP is trying to do, protect himself as much as he can, but eventually you're going to have to talk to somebody.
Be an adult.
Right, with the Giants organization.
You effed up, You know it's going to cost you, but, you know, they're not allow, I mean, they're not allow
a team.
At
this point, yes. But initially, I can understand, though.
I have no sympathy for him.
Look, you're in the hospital, man. You're for all you know, what's going through your head, your career's over with, your hand's blown apart, you're depressed, you're whatever, you're not under contract. You think if they come in and see that hand, they're going to pull that franchise tag. Who knows what's going through his head? I don't have an issue with him initially not wanting to see the
Giants.
Well,
what I have an issue with is Tom Coughlin texted him right after it happened, says, "How can I help?" No response.
Right.
JPP's a moron.
Well, he's done of his texting. Yeah,
he can't
dumb available to him.
Yeah,
right
he's
now.
Got a text book added.
It's broken.
But just these guys get such lousy advice.
Apparently.
It's so pathetic.
His agent is not Don Yee, is it? As far as we know.
I don't
Don
believe
Yee.
So.
Don Yee.
Don Yee.
by the way, $500 in 1887. Dollars are worth what in 2015? What do you think?
I don't
What's
know.
What's the 2015?
60 grand.
60 grand. He goes with Tony.
I was going to go lower than that. I'll go 45.
He's going to go 45. Tyler Devitt, do you want to weigh in here? $500 in 1887 is worth what in 2015 dollars?
Oh, I have no idea. No guess.
Guess.
Pick a number.
Come on, Tyler.
One number. Pick it.
2000.
2000.
So how tough was that?
Tyler wins because he came closest without going over. $12,500.
Wow.
How about that? So basically, $500 today is the equivalent of $20 back in 1887. So $20 could get you whatever the heck, I guess a new like PlayStation 4 or something back in 1887.
Essentially, yeah.
Essentially.
If they had that.
Correct. Right. They weren't new in eight. They were still on the, I think, the first PlayStation back in 1887. So.
By the way, Hayes Carline, who is covering some event.
Works for the Florida Times Union, Tony.
Yes, he does.
At least they got somebody over there doing something.
Right. Since we have Ryan here, who broke the story a couple weeks ago about the team.
It just dawned on him when I said.
I broke the opinion.
Playing the Packers in London. Hayes Carline did just say that Jaguars president Mark Lemping says Packers game in 2016 will be in...
London.
Jacksonville.
Well, what? Oh, the Packers game will be. Your opinion sucks, dude.
I'll read this tweet exactly. Please Lampion
do.
Says, Packers rarely come to Jacksonville, and Jaguars want their fans here to enjoy the matchup. To me, that's a non-denial.
Well, yeah. I mean, they do want them to enjoy the matchup, but he's not guaranteeing that the matchup is going to be here, right?
You. Yes. So yes. I think it was it was Lampion because Hayes asked him, because we talked about this before I came on here, is Mark Murphy says that Shad Khan's fighting for it. Why didn't he fight for the Niners game or the Cowboys game? So
I don't know. Maybe he didn't feel like he had as much standing in the league. I mean, is that possible?
I think as soon as he signed that four-year deal, he should have felt he had standing.
And maybe he did. I don't know. Maybe, you know, or maybe ultimately he can express his opinion on it, and he's gotten, maybe he said, hey, I don't want these attractive games being taken away.
Sure.
Or maybe he said, let's try to do this to get the London experiment off on a good foot. I don't know what his approach was, but I'd like to see them protect the Packer game because I think it
Me
is
too.
One of the most attractive ones.
Well, and I think obviously the Packers fan, that's a nationwide fan base. So wherever they go, there's going to be Packers fans that go to the game. I think also, look, this is Jaguars fans don't get the chance to go see Aaron Rodgers play football. Right, and even if you think that they're not going to be able to win that game against Green Bay, which who knows what position they'll be in next year, isn't it fun to just go watch a guy as good as Aaron Rodgers play and say that you had the opportunity to go do that? As an NFL fan base, you would hope you get at least one chance to go see these great players as they're going through the league. He's only going to come here once every 8 years. You would hate to lose the chance to go see that if you're the Jaguars fans.
He doesn't care. What's the game over in London this year that's the divisional game? Is that a Jets game?
Jets-Dolphins.
Is it why am I'm looking at the Dolphins. Is that as early as week four? Could that be? Is that a Miami home game?
It's September. It's a Miami home
game. It is. So it's that early. Okay, so it's week four. They're going to play that in London. And I believe that's the first time they've had a divisional game there, right? There is a certain segment of the fan base we know that we've interacted with that would be very upset if they lost the division game because of the rivalry aspect of it, and you feel like maybe you're giving up that advantage. They're getting us in their home. We're not getting them in our home. What do you think? What do you think is the most appealing game from a fan standpoint to lose? Would you rather lose a Tennessee game? Let's say Tennessee goes out and then they're 3-13 again this year.
to me, I don't think the division thing's a big deal, especially here in the stadium. If I'm the Jags, I want to change my luck. I want to make the Colts go over there.
Right.
You know, just to mix it up. I also just texted Hayes to see if he had any updates from Lamping about everybody's favorite storyline. The mascot.
That is everybody's favorite storyline. For a minute there, I was thinking of your personal favorite storyline, He Who Shall Not Be Named.
Yeah. Well,
crazy.
I don't think Mark knows anything about, isn't willing to say anything about, suspended receivers.
I understand. I just thought I'd tie that in nicely right there. We'll get back to your training camp primer, get some of your thoughts of what to look forward to over the course of the next couple of weeks. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony, phone lines open to you if you'd like to get on board at 641-1010. That also doubles as the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, so you can weigh in on that. Again, we'll be out there tomorrow broadcasting live, and of course tomorrow will be a Cardinal and Cadillac Friday. Since 1905, Cardinal and Cadillac serving as the preferred Cadillac dealer here in Northeast Florida, with the largest selection of new and pre-owned Cadillacs in Jacksonville, with absolutely no dealer fees. The elegance and experience of driving a Cadillac, just one step away. You can build your lasting relationship by logging on to claudenolan.com or visit them at 4700 Southside Boulevard. Call 642-5111 for Claude Nolan Cadillac, tomorrow's day sponsor on the program. And if you pop by there tomorrow afternoon, you may, in fact, see me out there. I'll be dropping in and visiting with those guys tomorrow afternoon. But coming up, your phone calls, as well as more of a look ahead at Jags training camp. It's Jaguars Today, live at Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I have an update.
Go right ahead.
There wasn't the mascot wasn't brought up.
So no new news on Jackson DeVille.
Correct. And then Hayes texted me back saying that when the Packer thing came up, he left so he could blog it, which he has. So understandable. Maybe not.
Okay. So he left it.
He didn't ask it because he ran to do the blog on the Packer game.
Gotcha.
So, and he said nobody else asked it either. So that's let's go get Mark. Bring him in here.
Come on. We want to know
who's going to be rappelling from the stadium in 2 weeks.
Yes. My vote goes for Bold City Batman. I don't know if he has any athleticism in his body.
Gosh, that is just 2 weeks.
He wants to do it, though. He wants to do it. And so does everybody else, apparently. There are about 5,000 Facebook
Let's see how they feel when they're on top of the light stand.
Yes.
Yeah, you're going to buy the one all. Nope, no. I've decided this is not for me.
I just want to go to the birthday party.
Bad time to find that out, I think, in that
Give me
moment.
The segue.
Now, did Hayes' blog differ from his tweet in regards to the Packers?
He clarified it. He says, Jaguars president Mark Lamping said Thursday the team will be hosting Green Bay and Jacksonville next year.
He will. So that's a definitive statement.
Yeah, and I did like this part that Hayes added. Lamping said whether to make an AFC South opponent play the Jaguars in London is a decision made by the general manager and the head coach of the Jaguars, so Dave and Gus.
Whatever they think is best for their competitive advantage.
Which I think that's a good nugget, because I haven't heard that before. Shad had said he deferred that decision, but I think he made the Dallas decision because Jerry wanted to play over there. But so that sort of puts a bow on what we're talking about, a divisional team.
Yeah, and that'll be up to their whim whether they decide, because hey, this will be the fourth time we've made that trip. We've kind of gotten it down. At least they hope, they'll find a routine that hopefully they'll be more competitive, at least even if they don't win the game this year, because otherwise, then when are you leaving, right? They tried Monday, they tried Sunday, and now they're trying Thursday night.
Maybe they take a boat.
I'm not sure. Right. Maybe they do, right? Maybe they have to buy the week before and take a slow boat.
They just cruise over.
To Europe. I don't know. But whatever they feel will be most advantageous.
There she is.
There's Amanda Borges, ladies and gentlemen. Stop in, say hello.
If I was the Jags, is from now on when I go, I'd always, if possible, I'd want to play a team that hasn't been over there. So they're guessing about what to do. And you think if you're going over for the third, fourth, fifth time and a team's going over for the first time, it has to matter. Because the first time the Jags went over there, it was Thursday or Friday until guys remembered what their names were. So because of the trip. So, maybe they'll, saying Indianapolis hasn't been over there. Houston hasn't been over there. Tennessee hasn't been over there, I'm pretty sure. So maybe one of those teams will go.
Well, let's talk to Amanda Borges right now, 1010XL embedded reporter with your Jacksonville Jaguars.
What did you call me, embedded?
This isn't the war.
What does that mean, embedded?
You don't know what that means? You never heard that?
I know what it means.
You're a millennial. You're a youngster.
She's not going to Iraq.
Well, that's what it means. That's where it comes. I know you know what it means, but
it's
like
a serious description.
When we first started learning about who Wolf Blitzer was back in the early days of the Gulf War, they would send reporters in and they would have them
embedded with the 5th military.
They would stay with whatever military division was there, and they would travel with them, and they would dress in military gear so they blended.
Still doesn't sound exactly like a name that should be covering the war as opposed to participating in it. Wolf Blitzer.
Yes.
Right.
It does.
It shouldn't be the reporter. He should be the guy on the ground.
I guess, though, if Amanda was an embedded reporter with the Jags, she would have a uniform, her own locker, and
I
all those things.
I probably wouldn't be able to say certain things. I'd have to be on my best behavior at all
times.
You'd
have to talk about the process and how you're working the process, and you're just trying to get better today. You're not really focusing on the results. They'll take care of themselves.
Right.
So that's a Jaguars mantra. Did you get a chance to talk with team president Mark Lamping today? Did you just come from
that? I got to hear some good nuggets from him. It was a little hard to hear him after his press conference, but what I did get, this was the one nugget I got from him, he likes London. He likes playing at Wembley. I don't know if that's really a shock to anyone.
Well, I think Shad likes playing there because you look at, let's say, the new place and the old place. Tottenham's going to be like 30,000 fewer seats. I mean, so they can maximize their revenue. I think what Shad's angle is they want to be the team of Wembley.
That's like our home stadium.
That's where we're playing.
Yeah.
You guys can play at Tottenham, other games. We may play a road game there if I'm Shad saying that. So I think that's maybe what Mark was
getting
at there.
Don't you think it kind of already is?
I mean, they make the stadium up, whoever that home team is. But, I mean, you can see it's a little bit more fans there for the Jaguars last year. I mean, their data says there's more Jaguar fans in London than any other teams.
Yeah.
So I think they want to stay on that track because it's, even though it feels like you've been going over there for a couple of years, it's only been two trips. I think they really were interested to see, okay, what kind of impact can they make there if they're good.
Mm-hmm. But, I think that's a good point about the relative size of the stadiums when the new Tottenham deal opens up. If going over there is to maximize your revenue and to get basically double the home game revenue for one game, why would you want to go to a place that holds significantly fewer seats or fans than Wembley Stadium? We were just talking about Hayes Carline tweeting out a few things about the Green Bay Packers. Did Mark Lamping make it very clear that the Packers will be playing here in Jacksonville?
According to Hayes, that's what he said. He said 2016, the Packers will be here.
Okay.
That's what he said.
I'm stunned. Or else I wouldn't have said that a couple weeks ago.
Well, see, that's the thing. That was your opinion.
So you broke the news.
I expressed
he broke his opinion.
Educated opinion.
Yes.
Because I had heard that within this building even last year that they were going to be the team, mostly because Green Bay wanted to play over there. And, my guess is that there's going to be more games over there, so every team who wants to go over there as a road team is going to get a chance. From Shad's angle, I think maybe he was a little surprised by the backlash of losing that Dallas game. I don't think he maybe anticipated it would be such a negative reaction. He probably said, okay, I have to fix that. And this is how you fix it.
Amanda Borges here with us. Amanda, you were I heard you talking with Frank and Brenton about this yesterday. You obviously brought in to be our new Jaguar reporter this season. What are you thinking about? What are you looking forward to, I guess, the most with the first practice of training camp dawning?
Yeah, we were joking. This is what I was brought in to do. So all of this that I've been doing, it's not really work, right?
No, it does not. It's just killing
so now,
time.
Right, so now the real work starts. No, I'm excited. It's kind of like Christmas Eve today. There are so many, and you guys know because you talk about this, there are so many storylines going into camp, but I actually wrote a blog post a couple days ago explaining that just because we're expecting so much during training camp, don't expect by the time the first preseason game comes that everything's in order, we know exactly what's happening, we know who's starting where, and everything's in order because there are lots of new moving pieces. And so I think that it's realistic for the fans to say, okay, training camp is a learning experience. They're all in this together. But the preseason is when they're going to put the pieces in place and start moving along and get ready for Carolina week one.
Which position battle, if any, what's the most intriguing one to you among the, I guess, the unsettled ones? Like, we know Blake's a starting quarterback. Yeah. We know certain things. There's some that are up in the air.
Yeah, I think it's interesting on the offensive line with Beatles and A.J. Cann. A.J. Cann is a rookie coming in. Can he beat out Zane Beatles? I don't know. Frank seems to think he will. Ryan, you said that
Beatles will be the starter. Drafted him third round. He's got to start, Ryan.
He's been working on his Frangie impersonation, ladies and gentlemen.
It's pretty good.
We've all got one, by the way. He knows that. He knows that.
Hey, that's it's a sign of respect.
I agree with you, though.
That's true.
I do think they want...
You don't
they...
mock me, so you don't respect me, Ryan.
It's not mockery. I think it's...
I don't know.
Well, you know, we got to wait till a guy gets the 30.
No, he's past 30.
Past 30.
35.
See, it's getting worse. You just keep digging, Packers, but, man.
Yeah. So, in other words, not bad. Who do you think wins the job then? Because like, there's like different, you know, guys are in different camps.
I know. I'm kind of on the fence with this one. I would love to see Can win the job, and I think he's fully capable. But I think that Beatles will get the nod.
I think Beatles is going to get it to start the season. I think that would be the best possible outcome for the Jags.
Yes.
I think they feel like Can is going to be eventually very good. Yep. And if Beatles can hold him off, I mean, you know, look, everyone focuses on the last month and a half of the season, said he played a lot better last year. You get challenged. He knows. He's not dumb. He sees them draft this guy in the third round. He knows what's being said about him. If he can come out and play more towards the guy they thought they were signing last year than we saw through the first 10 games, I think that's better for the Jags if he's able to hold them off. Don't you?
I do, because, I mean, they were so young up front last year, and they're still relatively young and inexperienced this year. Is if you have... another rookie in there, okay, there's another transition. There's another guy that Luke Jokel has to learn how to play next to. They put Beatles in there. You give him, you know, maybe it stabilizes a little bit. You know, just give him the shot start week one and say, here it is, big boy.
Right, and knowing that you've got an alternative to fall back on this time. James Sample, obviously, starting the training camp on the physically unable to perform list. Sergio Brown, not a ton of experience. Is that a worry spot for you at free safety?
Not yet. That's something that I'm going to keep my eye on in training camp. We were talking about that the other day, right, Ryan, with Sergio and with Sample. Now, Sample, correct me if I'm wrong, he will be available for the season, right?
Yeah, he can start practicing anytime.
Right.
Right, whenever he's ready to go, he's eligible.
Have you heard anything? Or?
Well, ask us today. They've been pretty consistent on saying mid-August.
Okay.
That best case would be that he plays the last two preseason games.
That's moved up a little bit from when the injury happened, right?
Yeah, they bumped it up maybe a week or two, because I remember the day he had surgery, Dave Caldwell saying, well, maybe he can play in the third preseason game and then get a lot of reps in the fourth. I don't think it's not a starter's job competition, but you know, it'd be good to see him out there in that fourth game just to get his feet wet. But I think free safety is going to be a season long issue. They went after Devin McCourty, didn't get him, so I think that's one of the things. You may see a revolving door there.
Yeah, you can't get everything you go out. They made what appeared to be a competitive bid for Devin McCourty, and based on his comments about how strong the Jags' appeal was, I think had he not gone back to New England, this was likely his destination. For Blake Bortles, going into year two, this is first time he comes in knowing he's a starting guy from day one. How do you think that impacts him compared to last year when everything's new? You see these guys, all the rookies that have come in, they don't get a whole lot of downtime. You know, it goes right from the end of college. They're preparing for the combine, preparing for the draft with private workouts, and it's right into mini camps. They get a little bit of a break during July, but their heads kind of spin. Blake seems like he's certainly more relaxed, more rested, mentally sharp this offseason. You think that's going to play a big role?
Oh, absolutely. You can tell he's more comfortable. He's said it before. He said, you know, if you take last year and compare it to this year, there's a huge difference, obviously. You know, when you're a rookie, your head is spinning and there are so many things to learn. And now he's more comfortable. He's a leader in the locker room. You can, you know, the players speak very highly of him. It's hard because it's only his second year, and so fans are going to expect a little more from him. During camp, and Ryan, we were talking about this the other day too, I loved what Ryan said.
You're the one.
I only give out one compliment a day, so that you're done now.
I'm done now.
Which means Mike and I are out of luck.
He doesn't usually get that many.
Have fun this afternoon, yeah. Frank.
Bortles is a gamer, so we're not going to see him in training camp being this amazing quarterback throwing the prettiest deep ball that you've ever seen, because it could happen, but it might not happen. As long as he can play in the game, we were talking about it yesterday. Where would you rank him? Like, is he a top five quarterback in his future? Is he a top 10? And I'm going to be the realist that says he's maybe a top 15.
I'd like him to, yeah, I was going to say, let's have the conversation that Blake has finally ascended to the top 20. Then let's worry about all the rest of that, right?
Well, I don't mean now.
That's what I'm saying.
Career.
He's still got a long way to climb. Based on his numbers last year, you could argue he was the worst starting quarterback in the National Football League just based on the numbers. All right, well, there you go. Amanda Borges, we're going to see you almost daily blogs, right?
On
1010XL.com, and we'll see you out of practice. Hopefully we'll talk to you tomorrow. Ryan, I know you're just bursting to add one more thing before Amanda gets
out
of here.
What's that, Ryan?
Oh, I forgot. I was going to say...
He looked so eager.
I remember what I was going to say.
He got complimented. Now he's tongue-tied.
I think one of the key guys, and I'm writing about him for Sunday, you mentioned Blake Bortles, is... It's going to be fascinating to see what kind of impact Greg Olsen has on Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
You look at some of the other quarterbacks that Greg has had. Been young guys who have had great seasons. Derek Carr was functional. Josh Freeman had a good year before they regressed. So I think the relationship between Bortles and Olsen, I think, will dictate how far this offense goes.
There you go.
Glad I remembered that.
We are all glad. Now the show, I feel, it's complete. We can leave early today.
We can end on a high note.
Yes. Amanda, thanks for stopping by. We'll see you out there tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks for letting me crash.
Anytime.
I figured,
anytime. Open door policy. And, particularly if Ryan's here, because we get tired of talking to him in a hurry.
Yeah, I bet.
There you have it. He's getting it. Look, you just got complimented, buddy. You got to get it, even you out a little bit.
That's fine.
All right. We'll come back, and we've got the question of the day, which asks you this. How many? I know the answer for Amanda. The answer is all. How many training camp practices do you plan on attending for the Jags, and which ones, if you want to lay that out there? I'd love to hear your feedback on that. If you'd like to get on board with us, you can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL. Fat Tony, are you? What are you at 1010XL, Amanda?
Amanda 1010XL.
Oh, see, everyone's got a different one over at 1010. There was really no particular way.
There's no rule
of going about. There really is no rule.
You're Amanda 1010.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you not follow Amanda religiously anyway?
You don't follow me.
You know I do.
Ryan, I'm about to put a wall up in between
see,
us.
See, that
all
compliment's
right.
getting repealed.
I always thought I would have guessed $10 it was 1010 Amanda.
Nope.
You would have.
Because you're 1010.
I'm MD_1010XL is what I am. Because I've been on Twitter longer than most of these fools.
Yeah.
And that's what I came
these
up with.
These fools.
1010XL
Fat Tony. Yeah.
I guess I put my name first because I didn't want to confuse people with putting the numbers first, thinking that it was the station.
No,
it's highly confusing.
Yeah,
highly
so confusing, right?
Yes. I'm glad we've settled that. She is Amanda Borges, reader at 1010XL.com, and, of course, catch her this afternoon on the Frank Franchi Show as well. Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there she goes. Jaguars Today continues in a moment, live at Everbank here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Hey, about time, Tyler.
That's why he's been a grump all day.
I'm pretty fired up.
He's got to get his soundtrack. Are you pretty fired up today?
I am fired up.
He's like, Tony, hold on.
I am fired up.
I don't do an O'Halloran, but I may start. I may build it around that
phrase. Can you do the guffaw?
That's easy. And the eye roll that comes with it. I mean, that's more of a video needed.
It's close, but it's not quite the Lauren spit take.
No.
It's close.
I mean, Lauren does do that. You could almost see her like sipping a glass of something and then just all over the microphone. giving out. She, you know, she's listening right now. She's going, I do not spit all over the microphone.
We know you do.
It sounds like you do. It certainly sounds like you do. Now she apparently she runs UNF now. She's back from working at Augusta National. Now she runs UNF.
I mean, you follow Lauren Brooks on Twitter now, and the next thing I'm expecting her to tweet is, I've signed Matthew Driscoll to a contract extension.
There you go. And I do follow Lauren Brooks on Twitter, and you should as well. A couple of quick things here. We'll get to the fan feedback spotlight momentarily. One, the Minnesota Federal Court that Tom Brady filed his appeal in yesterday.
Yep.
They've already said, NFL beat you to it. They've got jurisdiction in New York, which was honestly, you heard Robert Kraft up there yesterday. He says, if that, you know, I'm paraphrasing, if that's not the most lawyer-like thing, are you kidding? What do you expect them to do? They know it's going to court. You lawyer up. You fight legal fights with lawyers and lawyerly tactics, don't you? I mean, it was a brilliant move, honestly, by the National Football League to have that say, we're going to drop this appeal, and we're immediately going to have 2 seconds later have somebody hand an envelope to somebody in the clerk of court's office in New York City,
yeah,
and away we go. And they got in ahead of Brady. Brady couldn't appeal a decision. He couldn't sue against a decision that hadn't been given out yet, so he was stuck. And it was great maneuvering by the National Football League.
Yeah, and Kraft like says, well, that's dirty pool.
Right.
Welcome to the real world, Bob.
Yeah, come on. Like, Bob Kraft doesn't have a slew of lawyers working for him that would do the exact same thing if circumstances dictated that was the best thing for the New England Patriots. Let's get DJ in here real quick at 641-1010, and then we'll get to the fan feedback spotlight today. DJ, good morning. How are you, sir?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up?
Hey, listen, I'm not a real big Jags fan. I mean, I like the team. I've supported them since the beginning. But I was looking over the schedule. I did it like three times. Y'all do the schedule where you go down the list and see like who can win, which ones you can win and lose.
Sure.
I did like three times, man, and I'm still coming up with 3-13.
Hang up on this guy.
No, he's kidding. He's kidding, DJ.
Hey, I mean, I could make that case as well.
You could make that. Look, they're going to be the underdog, you know, in Vegas in most of their games this year, right?
I mean, until they, like, win two games.
Right, but they'd be favored. They'll be favored against Tennessee at home. Yeah. There may be one or two other games along the way. I mean, look, you could make that case, but you could make that case about a lot of teams in a lot of years, and it doesn't turn out the way you expect. I'm not making the case for 13-3, believe me, but I could sit here and go, okay, split the first two at home, right? Beat the Patriots without Tom Brady, okay? Now, or some combination. Win two of those first three. I think that's very possible. All right, we'll lose to the Colts on the road, but we'll beat the Bucs. If there were any teams worse than the Jags last year, the Bucs were one of them. They were the worst team in the league.
Sure.
So now you're 3-2. Okay, you got the Texans, you got the Bills in London. Can you split one of those?
Should beat Buffalo. They don't have a quarterback.
No. All right, so let's go. Lose to Houston and beat the Bills. All right, now you're 4-3
yep.
At that point in time? 4-3, and then, I mean, just pick a couple off. You split with the Titans in the second half of the season. Win that second Texan game or win the Colts game. Win one of those two division games. The Saints were miserable last year. The Falcons weren't any good last year. I mean, look, I understand they have quarterbacks that are much more accomplished than what you have, but they lost a lot of games with those quarterbacks last year. So, you know, I can make the case for a lot of things.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying DJ is crazy by any stretch of the imagination. Recent history indicates he might be right on the mark.
Yeah, that's the thing is if you're optimistic about this team increasing their win total, it's because you're projecting improvement
from internally from them more so than the schedule.
If you're saying 3-13, you can say same old Jags. That could happen too.
Yeah, absolutely, and you know. Every year, though, I think you can look at the schedule of any team and say, wow, that's a pretty tough schedule for the most part, right? I mean, now look, Indy, people may be saying, well, look, Indy gets four against the Titans and the Jags, and so do Houston. They were two of the three worst teams in the league. And that's reasonable, but beyond that, you're still going to be playing, you know, if you're Indy, you're playing the first place team in every division from the AFC. They're, you know.
I mean, let's say if this team only, like, in weeks 1-10, if they only win their games that are played in this building, they're going to be 3-6. So, stuff can happen.
Right, in this building, yeah. Right. All right, the Fan Feedback Spotlight today asked you, how many Jaguar training camp practices are you planning on attending this year, Fat Tony? What kind of feedback we get on that?
Here's what we got from Chris. At least one, definitely a padded practice. From Daniel, at least two, definitely first day in pads. From Black Dog Express, if I worked for somebody else, a couple. I'm sorry, your work's not going to let you get out here. From Teal Rising, all of them, hashtag don't tell my boss. In that case, I hope he doesn't listen, Teal Rising. From Christoph, I would like to go to all of them, but I live in England and am not as rich as Shotgun. From Eric, not many, as most are when I have to work, but the scrimmage and maybe a Saturday morning one. And from Irish Jaguar, just a frowny face that he's stuck over there on the island.
That's all right.
He only
buddy.
Gets to see him for a week.
That's right. You get leprechauns, though, so that's nice. Over on Facebook, Steve Muncy said, if I didn't have a job, I'd go to all of them. You kidding me? Ray Jenny is going to at least three. Seth Line Gang said zero unless 1010XL or someone in the Jaguar organization wants to buy me round trip tickets from Dallas Worth. I'm looking at you, Osier. I think that's money bags right there. So I would agree with that. And Damon's one of the guys. Anytime Terrence calls, I need a dose of Damon to balance it out, right? Damon said, at least four of the practices I will attend, no doubt. Want to see this talented team. Oh, my goodness. Did I just say talented team? Haven't been this giggly in darn near 7 years from the bottom to the top. Now we here, as Drake would say. Started at the bottom. Go, Jags.
But did he write it?
Hashtag 10-6. Probably not. Hashtag 11-5. Watch. Speak it into existence. You the man, Mike D. I would agree with that. And that's why Damon keeps getting those red.
Yes,
I don't know
is.
if he or one of his schoolmates at Degrassi High wrote it.
Right.
Tony. I'm not sure how that works as far as that goes. We know this. JT writes his own stuff, doesn't he? He wouldn't be caught dead doing somebody else's material, would he?
No way.
Kidding me? Do you write any fan fiction about Justin Timberlake at all?
No.
You don't do that? Wouldn't you love to read from Ryan O'Halloran penned Justin
right.
Timberlake fan fiction, see where he took
top
that spot?
Well, I am going to go in this locker room tomorrow. I'm going to ask Josh Scobie, hey, congrats on that golf tournament. What was Justin like?
That's awesome. Congrats on such a good finish. Tell me about JT, would you? All right, that does it for us today. Thanks to Paul Kaharsky, at Paul Kaharsky NFL on Twitter, breaking down the Tennessee Titans as We take a look at the Jags' opponents week by week leading up to the season. And tomorrow, out there at the Florida Blue practice fields, if you're a season ticket holder and you're attending, stop by and say hello. We'll try to bring a wide variety of opinions and voices to the program tomorrow as the Jags kick this thing off. We've been waiting all summer for football. Unlike Ryan O'Halloran, I am very excited for training camp. He's just trying to survive it, but that's okay, too.
Survive and thrive.
Survive in advance, baby. For Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, for Ryan O'Halloran, check him out on Twitter, at Ryan O'Halloran, in the pages of the Times Union. What do you have coming up, by the way?
That's right. Thanks for letting me plug it. Been working on a Greg Olson story, sort of his career, for a couple weeks. That's going to be in Sunday's paper. I've talked to Steve Mariucci, Jeff Garcia, John Gruden about Greg, so I think it's going to be interesting, and so it'll be there. Each day we'll have a camp report. If you can't make it out to practice, we'll be charting 7-on-7, 11-on-11, et cetera.
Well, that's a great job getting all that background on Olson. I think that'll be good to see.
It was, and it was that was exciting to report that kind of stuff.
Now, is it moose or gel? What is he, a moose guy or a gel guy? What do you think?
I have to ask him that.
Yeah, you see?
What I will say is I admire it.
Yeah, well, he's got a look. It works for him, and he goes with it. So good luck to Greg Olson and the rest of the newbies, the returning players and coaches. Let's get this thing kicked off on the right foot tomorrow. For Fat Tony, for Ryan O'Halloran, and everybody else, I'm Mike Dempsey. XL Primetime coming up in moments right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flap.